Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Jonathan de Burka Butler is here to tell us bring us some stories from other parts of the world. Jonathan,
sure,
good afternoon to you. Right, Nigeria we're going to first, and this is a story about a baby making factory, meaning it, I assume that means some sort of orphanage.
It is. It's a so-called baby making factory. It was funny, in the reports they actually made the distinction between the three places that they raided. They called one a baby factory, and then two other places unregistered orphanages. Okay, and the three places were in Lagos in Nigeria, which is I think is the biggest city in Nigeria. It's certainly the richest, and I think its geographical position sort of unfortunately kind of lends itself to this kind of thing, in the sense that an awful lot of these babies and children that were rescued from this factory, God, it's depressing to say it, but were made for a market, okay, in the sense that they were either trafficked, many of them were about to be trafficked, or sold for adoption, or other, you know, used for other things that I really don't want to get into actually at 2:30 on a Tuesday,
dear,
to be honest
with
you, but
yeah.
Desperate stuff.
Yeah.
So the authorities have freed 162 children altogether, 100 girls, 62 boys. We know also that in some cases there were mothers in these factories who were basically raped on a serial basis. It's like something from Handmaid's Tale or something like that. For the production, again, I say production because that's the way it kind of felt to me anyway, of these children who, as I said, then were either sold on for various different purposes. Shocking story, really, but good news in the sense that they were able to find these three places and put a stop to it.
You did say because of the geographical location, are there possibly more places like this?
We know there are, and there have been several cases. I think in another state in 2017, in Imo State, I think it's called, 17 pregnant teenagers and 11 babies were rescued from a house in the southeastern, in that state, which is in the southeastern part of the country. So it happens elsewhere, to be honest. And it's actually such a problem that there's two reactions to it that I think are worth mentioning. In 2012, a UK judge basically raised concerns about what she called desperate childless parents being caught up in baby selling scams in Nigeria, or going there on the premise of seeking fertility treatment. And then they end up, she kind of put it diplomatically, they end up being roped into buying children and trying to bring them back. The other thing to mention is that Denmark has actually stopped adoption from Nigeria, because they basically feel that it's just not safe.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible thing to say, but that's the fact of the matter, really.
Yeah. Now, presumably the people who are running this place have been arrested. Was there any word about the children in there? What happens to those children? Or indeed, if there's any pregnant women in there?
Yeah, so the children have, according to the state, been taken away to government-run safe houses. And so that's what's happened to them. And presumably the pregnant women as well will be dealt with in a similar fashion.
Let's hope they're cared for. Right, yeah. Argentina we're going to next. Now, we did, Henry was out doing a Vox Pop already today and asked somebody name the British wartime Prime Minister. They said Margaret Thatcher. I assume they were thinking of the Falklands War. So this is a story kind of to do with the Falklands and to do with Heineken.
It is, in a roundabout way. Heineken released a new product called the Heineken's H71, all right? Now, the reference to the H71 was to the longitude reference, right? So the where they got their yeast from in Patagonia.
Okay.
Now, as part of, apparently it's wild yeast or something like that they found in Patagonia, and they put it into the Heineken to make it better or something. Anyway, they were marking it to the French market, and to make it all ooh la la, they put a map on it. Unfortunately, somebody in marketing didn't realise the sort of geopolitical consequences of including Falkland Islands and putting in brackets UK beside it. It was picked up on by somebody in Argentina who posted on Twitter, "Hello Heineken, I have a little problem with H71. I am going to show you. You wrote Malvinas, and he puts in brackets Falklands, that they belong to the UK. You use Patagonia yeast and you go and do that, you idiot, which I think was probably a fair enough point. So even though they're technically speaking right,
yes,
it was probably a little bit insensitive. Now, they did point out that they weren't actually marketing this brand in South America at all, so it wasn't being sold there. Mm. But it was such a massive problem for Heineken in Argentina that their representatives got in touch with head office and said, listen, you're going to have to pull this complete product.
Yeah.
And they did, and they've stopped the product completely because of this reaction.
You just have to be so careful.
Yeah.
Right, Nicaragua we're going to next. And Ortega is in a bit of trouble?
He is. It's interesting because it's a developing story. It's been going on since the middle of April, okay? So it's one of these things where, you know, simple economic measure ends up basically causing a revolution, I suppose, in many respects. So in the middle of April, basically, Ortega, whose country has run into a little bit of an economic slowdown, he implemented a plan to increase payroll tax and to cut pension benefits. Right now, he wasn't cutting them directly, but basically he was taking 5% off what you'd get into your hand and he was going to put it into healthcare. Now, people weren't happy about that. Excuse me. And students went out, they basically decided to rally, and they went out and they started a small protest. And they were small until, of course, the police overreacted, shots were fired, and people died. And so far, we believe 63 people have died in the space of about 2 weeks since this has been going on. Now, the result of that is that Ortega has withdrawn these measures, okay? He's also called an inquiry, or at least the head of the parliament, which is run by the Sandinista government there, has called for an inquiry, okay, into the 63 deaths and the hundreds of injuries, it should be added as well. On Saturday, 150,000 people went out onto the streets to protest peacefully. The army were told to back off. The students who had kind of been militantly involved and had been involved in an awful lot of the fighting with police, they also stayed away, okay? And they're going into talks, I believe, with the government on Sunday. Next Wednesday. But Ortega took advantage of this pause, let's say, in the fighting, and he himself had a rally yesterday, I believe, which drew tens of thousands of his supporters. So in the headline, it looked like he was on the ropes and that he might be going, but it appears that he's fighting back a little bit. A lot of people remember the civil war that happened a number of years ago, and they don't want to return to violence, and that's what he's calling for. He's saying no bloodshed, no violence. You know, I've rescinded the measures that I took, so there's no need for these protests and it doesn't need to go further.
Yeah.
I will meet these people, we'll talk, and the church will get involved as well, and he will probably survive.
You think he will?
He might, yeah. I think he probably will at this stage, to be honest with you. I mean, he's been around for so long at this stage. I mean, this is last year he started his third term, I think, in office. He's 72 now. But I think he'll probably hang on. All right.
Yeah. All right. Okay. China, we're going to go to next. And this is students have been stabbed. Is this some sort of feud situation?
It's not. It's a situation. It's a very sad story again. It's involving high school students. So it was a very random attack. It happened in a city called Yulin City, which is about 3.5 million people. So it's a big place. And these students were leaving school at about 6 p.m. and they were attacked by a 28-year-old man. Now, the authorities who arrested this man have only given his surname. Zhuo is the surname. And apparently he was a student in this high school about 14 or 15 years ago.
Mm.
And while he was at that high school, authorities believe that he was bullied, and this was a revenge that he was taking out on students that he didn't know or couldn't have known. The result of it is that 9 students were stabbed to death and 10 more were injured, 7 girls and 2 boys. And these are only middle school kids, so they're between the ages of 12 and 15. But a desperately sad story and a horrible story of sort of a vendetta that was festering for a very long time.
Yeah, well, this is very interesting because this is the kind of story that you'd hear more routinely from the US.
The United
was
States,
bullied at school, went and got themselves an AK-47 or whatever, and goes back to the school to shoot everybody up. But you're the only person I've heard mention this. It's hardly been reported at all in this part of the world.
Yeah, it's a strange one, all right. But I don't know why it wouldn't be reported. I mean, because it is a similar type of thing. It's a school killing, and in many ways, given the fact that this guy has left the school over, it must be 10 years, 11 years, and he's a 28-year-old going back to exact revenge, you know, all these years later, is an even darker aspect of it. There was one interesting thing that I wanted to point out on this is because I wanted to find out could he lodge in a plea of insanity.
Yeah.
And they do have that in China, but apparently, and this is going to work against them, only police, the prosecution or the court can order or conduct an assessment on him. So his defence couldn't do that. So it'll be up to the court. And I don't think, given the age profile of his victims, that he'll get that anytime soon.
And these are, what, 12 to 15 middle school kids. Yeah. Really, crikey, that's so sad. Right, we're going to return back to Europe. And Viktor Orban has been sharing his wisdom with some members of the EU, apparently.
He has, through his foreign minister, a man by the name of Peter Szijjártó. Okay, so you know that Orban and the Fidesz Party, they came back about 4 weeks ago, I think it was, or yeah, 3 or 4 weeks ago, April the 8th, I think, with a landslide victory. And I think they came back with the exact same amount of seats, and a party, is it Jobbiko, or I can never remember the name, but anyway, they came back with three more. This is a far-right party that came back with three more. So it was a resounding endorsement, really, for the policies that are being followed by Fidesz and by Viktor Orban, which a lot of people in the European Union don't like, because they say it's anti-Semitic, they say he's anti-immigration, anti-Muslim, and anti all the values that the European Union purport to having. So at the moment, the European Parliament's Committee on Civil Liberties, Justice and Home Affairs are putting together a report on whether effectively Hungary should still be in the EU, right, in many respects. I suppose that's the long-term goal. So they're looking at bringing in sanctions under Article 7 against Hungary. So the foreign minister went to this committee, uninvited. All of this was televised back into Hungarian homes, by the way, and basically told them that the Hungarian people appear in the Hungarian elections name rolls while you don't. He basically said that the accusations of anti-Semitism against him were complete and utter lies. He went on to basically say that when you criticise Hungary, you criticise us because we stand in your way, and because of us, you can't implement your radical immigration plan undisturbed. So it's a very definite line of attack coming from the Hungarians against this European Parliament committee. I suppose you could look at it that the campaign, the political campaign or the election campaign, is kind of continuing, but outside of Hungary.
Yeah, though, I mean, what's interesting about a lot of that, and it's almost like Hungary, like often the battles between the perceived, what we now call sort of the left and the right, on issues like immigration. But it seems as like all the right really has a hold of Hungary now, and to the extent where George Soros is Satan. Yeah. Now, I suppose it's particularly so because he was born in Hungary.
Yes. And they, of course, accuse him of bankrolling, you know, NGOs there, which they are shutting down, of media, which they are shutting down or have shut themselves down, really, because they know they're not going to be able to operate within Hungary. It's they've got a stranglehold, certainly, in that part of the world. Now, the socialists didn't do themselves any favours whenever it was 10 or 12 years ago during a campaign, making a speech that was leaked that wasn't supposed to be heard, and that whole thing was dismantled. So that kind of fed into Fidesz's favour. But yes, you're right, they do seem to have a stranglehold on that part of the world.
Why in Hungary, which, as I understand, doesn't have a particularly large Muslim population, in fact, it's a minuscule Muslim population, why are they so exercised about immigration there?
Do they really need a reason? I mean, this gets into a different discussion altogether.
Yes, I know. It does put now. I mean, probably in all parts of the European Union, obviously it's an issue. Mm-hmm. The massive amount of migrants who have arrived in Europe, but it's controversy. The heat generated by the controversy is boiling in Eastern Europe and cools somewhat as you go westerly, if you like.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is, particularly, you know, that because in you'd think perhaps that countries such as France or Germany or the UK, which already have large migrant populations, it would be more of, because they could argue, well, we have already taken our fair share.
But is that not...
The likes of Hungary and Czech Republic have taken nobody.
But is that not the actual problem?
Yeah.
Because in France, people are actually used to those large, mixing with those large different ethnicities. So actually those voices that you hear will always be small. And, well, one hopes, I suppose.
Yes, I suppose.
You know, they won't get into power because they know the realities of living with other people, I suppose. But as I said, that's a different argument, maybe, for a couple of points.
Well, plus also, I mean, the a lot of what's being expressed here is the polar opposite of what the European Union stands for.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why they're holding this committee, right? So they're basically saying that there's a systemic threat to democracy, the rule of law and fundamental rights in Hungary, because media is being shut down, NGOs are being shut down, all of these kind of things. Mm. And, you know, but the problem is the EU, right, they have to do this. But at the same time, they're also feeding into the propaganda, because this foreign minister now goes back to Hungary.
Yeah.
And there's another 10,000, 20,000 people go, oh, great job. We are all wonderful Hungarians, one nation together.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a lose-lose situation for the EU.
They've published a list of enemies of the state or words to that effect.
200 NGOs that are allegedly connected with Soros who are just...
Or are being funded by the European Union, which is now going to be the new Soros.
Yes.
That's kind of scary stuff, really. Right, Canada we're going to go to next. Alberta has banned wine imports.
Yes, from British Columbia.
Barbaric.
You've never covered this on Movies and Booze, Canadian wine.
No. Okay. Well, no, all Canadian wine. All wine is lovely in Movies and Booze. That's pretty much
good.
It, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Okay, so anyway, it's a row, basically, between these two provinces of Canada, which stems from a pipeline that the government of Alberta basically want to extend into British Columbia and all the way over towards Vancouver. It's the Kinder Morgan pipeline, okay? So basically, British Columbia's provincial government said that they wanted more assessment of the risks, environmental risks to this pipeline, okay? Therefore, slowing down the process of extending the pipeline. Alberta's premier, a woman by the name of Rachel Notley, she, in response to that, basically walked away from negotiations in connection with an electricity deal that is worth $400 million to British Columbia. And on the same day, she stopped the importation of British Columbian wine from coming from that state into Alberta. She added that basically people could now consume a craft beer made in Alberta instead. But anyway, it's quite a big deal, because it's actually going to cost, we reckon, about $127 million, say if it was to last for a year, it would cost them about $127 million and would affect about 276 wineries in British Columbia. So
that's a lot of wine.
It is, yeah. I had no idea this existed, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, the ice wine is a big thing in Canada.
Okay.
I think it's just because it's cold. I can't remember how you make ice wine now. I'm sure whoever will be in on Friday will give a big explanation for it. And at the moment, there's no sign of resolving this dispute. Would this be the federal government come in and try and sort this out?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if that's part of their remit. They might be able to be a mediator in some respect, but I don't know how far they can go on it.
Yeah. John in Limerick says, Hungary is a far right country now. If you do a hop on hop off tour of Budapest, when you pass the Jewish ghetto area from World War II, the courier will tell you that's where the 70,000 survived the Holocaust. They conveniently told to tell you Nazi collaborationist far right government there sent 1.5 million to the death camps, says John. And from Clemenin says, I was on a coffee brigade in Nicaragua, and I have to say Ortega, it's such a disappointment. The people of Nicaragua had so much promise and were promised so much, and it is just such a disappointment, says Anne. Right, we're going to go to the Philippines next, and what has President Duterte done now?
So there is an Australian nun by the name of Patricia Fox who has been living in the Philippines for 28 years, and a couple of weeks ago she went on what she called a fact-finding mission to the state of Mindanao. Now, Mindanao is down in the south of the country, and since the 1960s there's been an insurrection against the central Philippine government there, which has been led by the relatively famous Moro Islamic Liberation Front. And they've been kind of operating in one guise or another since the 1960s. It's complicated, but since the 1960s they've been there. So in And there's an awful lot of political prisoners excuse me, in that part of the world. And she went down there on a fact-finding mission, and while she was there, she visited some of the prisoners and she prayed for their, you know, release and that kind of thing. She has a bit of sympathy for them. This was discovered by Philippine authorities, and when she went to renew her visa, she was told, you're not getting one. And she's been given a visitor's visa, which will now last for 30 days, and from then she's going to be kicked out of the country. Now, apparently, this went all the way to the top. So President Duterte himself basically authorized the Bureau of Immigration to investigate her case because of her alleged political activity. So he said, I want her out, basically, find something against her. And she is now going to be kicked out.
Right, okay.
I don't think she has any grounds for appeal, and she's going to be gone.
But the fact that it's being reported outside the Philippines, it seems to be a big story. One would have thought for Duterte this is relatively mild stuff, given his track record.
He wouldn't care less. So, I mean, yeah. The level of his human rights abuses are really off the scale, to be honest with you. You know, he managed to bring a whole city to heel, basically, by telling, when he was mayor of Davao, by telling his police to go out and shoot people.
Yeah.
Randomly, fairly randomly.
Right, Samoa, we're going to finally. And is this the president of a court is going to be sentenced by the court?
Yes, he's the president of Samoa's Lands and Titles Court. So it's a different court that's sentencing him. The Supreme Court judge, whose name I don't have, he dismissed three of the four charges against this man, whose name is Fepalue Attila Ropati, who, as I said, is the president of Samoa's Lands and Titles Court. So basically what happened, there was four criminal charges against him. Three of them were done away with. The accusation that was brought against him was that a Ministry of Justice night watchman was allegedly hit on the head with an empty beer bottle. Now, this happened around the time that this particular judge was having his year-end function. So one assumes that the beer that was in that bottle might have been consumed by this man.
Said judge,
Said judge, yeah. And so he has pled guilty to one count of actual bodily harm. It's got to go back to a district court now, and there'll be a date set for his sentencing. I don't know how many years or months he's likely to get, but it could well disappear.
He lost his job.
He hasn't. He's on leave without pay, awaiting the outcome of his case.
Okay. Damn. That's his last time attending the Christmas party, I would have thought. So what should we look out for in the next week or so?
It's really all elections, to be honest with you. The Malaysian House of Representative elections are taking place tomorrow. On Sunday, there's election in Tahiti, French Polynesia. And I think this is actually the last election before they have a referendum for independence. I hope I've got the right country there. Anyway, I'll come back to you on that. Lebanon, then there's Lebanese National Assembly elections as well. So lots of elections.
That'll be interesting too, with that. Especially the Lebanese one, with those ramifications all over the place. Jonathan, thanks a million for coming into us. Jonathan DeBurka Butler there.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.